Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back for another segment. And for this segment, joining us is a managing news editor for the WATD News Department, Christine James. She's sitting in on the request of not only myself, but Adam Bond. Adam.
Well, it's an award-winning department. How could I help but ask?
I'm seeing a theme here tonight. I'm glad to be here.
It's a heck of a theme.
I'm always ready to argue with lawyers.
but also, as I had mentioned earlier, Adam Bond here. And I will say Adam Bond was the one who had said, hey, this would be a good topic to kind of sit down and kind of talk about, because this is something that Adam is you're actually dealing with at this time.
Yeah, it's a criminal defense matter I'm dealing with, and Kevin brought me on just to prove me wrong that it would be a good topic for radio. So
well, the audience will be the ones who decide. But Adam, not only as being an attorney, but also does a talk show on another radio station down
where
in the
Taunton
area.
We've discussed this matter a little bit and gotten it a little bit of legs. I think when it comes down to it, the other attorney,
Ken Diesenhoff.
I was begging Kevin to bring in a defense attorney.
A defense attorney
knows what they're doing, and he selected you, and I was very happy.
That's because he couldn't find anybody else. Yeah.
No, it isn't because you're a suit with shoes, or somebody who hangs out at the district court, but you're somebody who you have done a lot of high-profile cases. You're somebody who does this on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
And you also are somebody, another individual who has done radio and has talked about law and legal issues before, so you have credentials. If you were just somebody that I had to pick out in a book,
you got radio cred.
I got radio cred. I got street and radio cred.
So Adam, if you will, set the theme
Let me set this up
so we can kind of throw questions at this.
You got to understand, constitutional issues frequently come out of very minor things. This is a case that relates to destruction of property over $250. That's all it is. But I walked in and I basically said, as is my right under Rule 14 and under a statute, I made a motion to get a copy of the criminal records of the witness for the Commonwealth. I walked in there, they handed me a record, I took a look at the record, I knew there was more to it than what I got. I went back in the second time and said, I want you to compel the Commonwealth to give me the full criminal record. And they said, well, it's sealed. And the judge said to me, well, what do you want me to do? It's sealed. I said, give it to me anyway. You cannot defeat my right of confrontation and my right to potentially exculpatory material by telling me it's sealed. Now, the sealed record law, which is very interesting, says in it at one point, sealed records shall not be admissible in evidence or used in any way in any court proceedings except an imposing sentence in subsequent criminal proceedings. That's 100A. So I've got Rule 14 on the one side that says I have a right. It's mandatory. It's automatic discovery to me to get the criminal records of any Commonwealth witness so I can confront them. That's the Sixth Amendment, and it's under Article 12 of our Constitution in the state. And then I've got another statute, which I call the Full Employment of Former Felons Act, which is basically trying to do something to allow people to seal their records with convictions that are more than 10 years old so they can be employed by, among others, the state. So it gives DeMacy a chance to get back in, and any of the other speakers of the House that may have committed felonies, they can go back to work and say no record after 10 years. That's how this works. So putting the politics aside, I've got a judge that turned and said, no, I can't have them because they're sealed. So the fight that's going on and the question that comes up is, how can a record be sealed against a criminal defendant's constitutional right to see them? And what the probation department, because the probation department is the one who has to turn them over, they're the ones ordered. Mm-hmm. What the probation department has turned around and said is that sealed records shall not be admissible in evidence or used in any way in any court. So their argument is, Mr. Bond, you can't use them, therefore you can't see them. And the argument that I made to that particular argument was, within that whole statement, the assumption is that I have them. You can't have a statute that tells me how I can or I can't use something unless that statute's assuming I get it somewhere. So putting that aside, The question becomes, and it's an interesting question that I've petitioned the Supreme Judicial Court about, is how do you balance the sealing of records and the privacy of individuals, which it looks like for employment purposes, against a criminal defendant's right constitutionally to be able to confront people? Mm. I mean, have you seen this type of issue before?
Actually, I have. And when Kevin called me up, I actually pulled out one of my old folders, which I have in my hand. And actually, this matter has been litigated before. There's a case called Pickley versus the Commonwealth. I'll give people for you geeks out there, it's 453 Mass 827, 2009. For the rest of America, just ignore what I just said. What the court ruled, the Supreme Judicial Court ruled in Pickley was there's a difference between the term impoundment and sealing. When something is impounded, it basically means is no one has access to it. Nope. Unless the court gives you permission. Sealing says, no, we are limiting the public's access. It does not limit the court's access. The court always has the right to see its own records. And that's what Pickley said. Pickley basically dealt with a collateral issue. And basically what Pickley said is the court can decide, we're going to allow you access to these records, but we can put restraints on you. We can say, attorney bond, fine. You're going to get access to those records, but you are hereby forbidden from disclosing it to anyone, including your client, without prior leave of the court. Mr. Bond, you can use this for purpose of impeachment, but impeachment only. You cannot bring in your, we call, case in chief, or something like that. Or we'll allow you to have the charges that predate 1990, but not post-dated.
Restrictions on use.
I just want to throw something out there, courtesy of Larry Nelson, who's kind of keeping an eye on what's going on out on the roadways. We get a motor vehicle accident off of Route 3 South, Exit 5, Plymouth, Long Pond Road. That's the bottom of the ramp. So if folks are experiencing a backup, that's the problem right now. Just keep an eye on that and find an alternative route. Did you have a question, Christine?
No, I'm just listening.
The problem that I'm having with this is that the Commonwealth, first of all, the Commonwealth wanted to be the one defending against this, and I objected and said they don't have any standing. It's a probation department.
Right.
And basically the Attorney General stepped in and is saying that withholding the records from me, because right now we're binary. It's either I get them or I don't get them.
Right.
Withholding the records from me is supported by the sealing statute. Mm. And the sealing statute, if you look at it, in this shall not be admissible language, it's talking about against the person whose record was sealed.
Right.
Against that person. This protects the person in a new trial over something new, somebody bringing up the sealed record and using it as propensity evidence to get them convicted again. But it allows that sealed record to be used when they're being sentenced for that subsequent criminal proceeding.
Right, and I think if we may back it out, I think we need to explain to our audience the difference between introducing evidence in a case in chief as opposed to impeachment.
Right. Make sure you don't overcomplicate.
And
right. No, this is very
for the listening public either.
Right. Okay. This is very
simple. Because you guys are doing lawyer jargon going on.
Remember, this is the people's court crowd.
This is very
simple.
Right. Okay. One of the things you do if attorney bond, we call cross-examining. It's when a witness gets cross-examined by a lawyer. The way you do it is you know, Mr. X, isn't it true that you were convicted on February 25th of, I don't know, molesting a small puppy?
Okay. That's innocuous.
Right. I'm just throwing that out. If he says, yes, I was, you have to move on. You can't introduce the record at that time. If he says no, then you go through, sir, were you not born on this date, and this date? You never introduce the record itself. You use it for a very limited purpose of impeachment. You never introduce the criminal record itself.
But you've got to stop for a second. Right. All of these, you cannot seal a record. Sealing a record requires certain parameters. For misdemeanors, it's they're 5 years old. For felonies, they're 10 years old. The reason that rule fits is I cannot, by the rules of evidence, go and grab a 10-year-old felony use it to make the witness look bad. Impeachment.
Right.
So what they're saying to me is, well, Mr. Bond, you can't use the record. Mm. Therefore, you don't have a right to get it. Now, there's a thing called discovery in the law. Discovery is I get to ask a whole bunch of questions.
Gather evidence.
Yep. Or gather non-evidence that may lead me to evidence. I get to look at it and then decide what I'm going to do with it, if anything. So I get, in a day, a lot of useless documents in terms of they're not admissible in court, but they give me information that leads me to admissible evidence. What the What the statute the probation department is relying on is saying, Mr. Bond, you can't get it admitted in a court proceeding as evidence, therefore you can't get it. My argument is, under the rules of criminal procedure and the Constitution, I have a right to see it, whether I have a right to use it or not. So the battle here is not coming down to whether or not they're properly sealed records. It's coming down to whether some sealing statute that had nothing to do with criminal law. And it's not the defendant who's on the line. It's not the person who got their record sealed who's on the line. It's my guy who's on the line being accused by the person who had their record sealed.
What are you looking for?
You mean what kind of information am I looking for in the documents? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for potential witnesses to talk to.
Okay.
Witnesses of, if there are in fact other crimes out there of a similar nature, talking to those witnesses, talking to those victims, and seeing whether or not they have information they can provide me that's of a more recent nature or of a more recent interaction to be able to bring into a trial if it's of relevance. But you got to understand, the other thing they do is not only do they give you a sealed record. First of all, this was the one that got both Kevin and I. When they handed me the sealed record, if I hadn't known there was more to the record than that, all they indicate to you is a tiny little S.
It's an in-house thing.
Upper right-hand corner.
It's an in-house housekeeping thing.
Right. With no legend. So my question becomes, how many lawyers who are less experienced, how many lawyers, defense counsel, have been handed something as the record and never knew to say, give me the full record? Because I think when it comes down to it, a sealed record can be used, for example, in a domestic abuse case. It can be used in determining whether a child custody. It can be determined in deciding whether or not bail gets given. It can be used in sentencing, any kind of restraining order where somebody may be in danger. They pull out this record and unseal it for the court or for the other parties. So what they're saying in legal parlance is there are certain public policy times when we'll let people see this. And my argument to the court is, it seems to me the constitutional right of confrontation and the right to defend yourself is one of those little public policy things that sort of floats around that you want to make sure people can get their hands on the records to see them. But
I'm just saying the everyday Judge Judy question would be, what about child molesters? What do you think? You think the record should be sealed? Just jumping off topic
and
here.
And my understanding is that those are excluded, that sex offenses are excluded. One of those, there are categories that are excluded.
Okay.
But
right.
Let me ask you, take a look at the sealing record. The sealing record lets the probation department know when it can report to someone that this person has no record.
Mm.
An employer gets a hold of someone, a bank. A guy embezzled a bunch of funds 10 years ago, and he did it 15 times 10 years ago. We're now in the 11th year, he's gotten his record sealed. He goes to work in the auditor's department of the state. And the auditor's department contacts probation and says, hey, does he have a record? Well, if it's sealed, they report no record.
And they do
if
that.
If it's sealed, he can write on his application form, no record. My question is, when he's sitting on a stand and someone says to him, do you have a record? Are we suborning perjury as a state?
But is there another response that can be given without any legal ramifications by said department?
No, they can say no record. The whole
purpose is the only way they can say that.
Right.
Yeah, and the purpose, and it says, this is how they can report no record. And my argument has been, when they gave me the sealed record without telling me, the only people only people they can't say no record to is the courts and law enforcement agencies.
How did you figure it out that it was a little less? What did you?
Because they told me that.
They told you, okay.
Yeah, after I said, this is not the record, and they said, well, it's the sealed record. Yeah. I said, how was I supposed to know that? And they said, there's a little S in the right-hand corner.
Right. I mean, the other thing that you need to understand about sealed records is every attorney who practices criminal law for any period of time will be burned by a sealed record once. And after that, we all look for that S. It is like the scarlet letter.
I've never been burned yet.
So. I have, and I'll tell you a fine example. Actually, I was trying to impeach a witness for the Commonwealth. Okay, now what happened was he got convicted. On appeal, his criminal defense attorney, who had gotten my file, called me up and said, "Hey, I noticed that the records were sealed. Did you try to unseal them?" I said, "I didn't know they were sealed." he came in and filed a motion to unseal the records and for ineffective assistance of counsel against me. I filed an affidavit saying that I was basically a moron and didn't know it. They unsealed the record, and this was critical, because what happened when we found we unsealed the record, and this is what got in the new trial, was the witness testified about certain events over a prolonged period of time, about a six-month period of time. For approximately 3 of those 6 months, he was incarcerated. We know this because in the record, if you look at someone's record and you get an incarcerated sentence, it tells you the dates of incarceration. Yes. So the attorney went through the timeline, and one of the things I did on cross-examination, I tried to find out where he was, and that was our theory was, no, he couldn't have been there because he wasn't around. Mm. No one knew that my client didn't know this guy was incarcerated. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That guy's committing perjury. Mm-hmm. The only reason we found out about that is because appellate attorney was smarter than me.
And saw the S, or knew about the S.
Right, knew about the S. That's the first thing he called me up. And I, as a criminal defense attorney, now look for that S if I don't see...
But the thing to me that's crazy about this is the probation department doesn't seem to understand there's anything wrong with this.
Right.
That there's anything wrong with this tiny little S being up there, rather than saying, you know, unsealed version of record. You were
I just wanted to let folks know who was in the room here with Adam Bond and Ken Dizenhoff, along with Christine James, and we are talking about the problems with criminal sealed records and how it has caused issues and problems for attorneys and in certain cases. And I'm sure there are other attorneys who are listening in going, yeah, I've had the same problem here.
But part of this is to me somewhat the intractable nature of the probation department, the immovable object of bureaucracy, which doesn't think through. The legislature didn't think it through, so now the probation department's not going to think it through. And to take something as simple as saying it's not admissible and you can't use it, and someone to read that and say, well, that means I must have it.
Right. Well, that's the thing that drives me crazy. Merely because something is not admissible does not mean you're entitled to get it. For example, let's use another area that is very contentious. They're called Lampon-Dwyer records. There are two cases, Commonwealth versus Lampon, Commonwealth versus Dwyer, that allows defense counsels in limited circumstances to get victims' medical and psychological records. Mm-hmm. It's a multi-step process, and there are a lot of restrictions placed on not only getting those records, viewing those records, or doing what I can do with them. Even if I go through, I think there are currently 4 or 5 steps, I forget off the top of my head.
And it's very recent,
right.
Yes.
Let's assume that I can jump through all the hoops. First of all, I've got to identify that there are records. I've got to find out where they are.
Mm.
I've got to send a subpoena to them. I've got to establish what records I'm looking for and why I'm looking for them. Then I look at them. I'm only allowed to look at them. Only I, not my client. And maybe my assistant.
It sounds to me like they're making you earn your money.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have to make your arguments regarding something you don't have yet.
Then, even if I get them, I may not be able to use them. I'll give you a prime example. I had a case in Essex County, Commonwealth versus Peter Johnson. We're on our 5th motion for a new trial after this one, where I got a hold of this guy's records. And in the records, his psychologist says, this guy is delusional, he makes up stuff, he makes up stories. There was a medical term for this. Okay, he is saying this guy is constantly making up stories, especially about being the victims of violent crime. Mm. My client was accused of sexually molesting him. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I filed a motion prior to trial to allow me to introduce those records. And I said, Judge, this is incredibly relevant. It's stating that this guy makes up stories about abuse. We had a 3-day hearing on this issue, and I was allowed to move in 2 lines, not... What I wanted, the doctor wrote a long of saying of this
you
is what he
the
said.
Narrative.
This right.
Yeah.
And basically, I got the conclusion of the doctor. That was after a 2-day hearing. I got 2 lines of that entire report in, and I was specifically told by the judge that under no circumstances can I say there's anything else out there.
Now, is this something that you guys run into as defense attorneys more when you're trying to defend a witness or assist something where your clients you're trying to get a record sealed?
Mm.
No.
You talk about 2 different things.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I can't speak for Adam. I can't speak for anybody
else.
Which
one do you deal with more?
I deal definitely with getting criminal records for purpose of impeachment. And honestly, except for very few, I mean, they're almost, it's getting to the point where it's administrative. I hand in a motion, Commonwealth doesn't even bother to comment on it, and I just literally walk downstairs let me rephrase this. I work in the Brockton District Court a lot. Our courtroom's on the fourth floor. Probation's on the first floor. I literally walk down the same day with an approved motion handed to one of the probation clerks, and they'll print it out right in front of me.
And actually, according to the rule, and this is where it's really strange, the statute says upon motion of defendant's counsel, you can get it. The rule says you're supposed to get it within 5 days of arraignment.
Right, exactly.
Because the Commonwealth is supposed to give you that information.
Right.
But I actually made the mistake the first time I went into criminal court, and I read the rules.
Yeah.
And I went in there, and I cited the rules to the judge, and he looked at me and said, this is your first day practicing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly happened to me, because I walked in the probation department one time, and I said, it's been more than 5 days. Give me my records. And they looked at me and said, courtroom's upstairs, counselor. Go out and get a motion. I'll print it out.
Has it been progressively becoming difficult for you as far as what the laws are being passed when it comes to sealing records? I mean, at what point, while you've been practicing attorneys, have you seen a gradual progression of where there's a difficulty in either getting a hold of sealed records or finding out about it?
Let me do it this way. In 2010, they changed Rule 14, which is the one that says defendants can get.
Who's they?
The legislature.
Okay.
Changed the rule that said a defense counsel could get the criminal records. They changed it from being discretionary to the judge to changing it to be mandatory or automatic. Which tells you the legislature recognizes the importance of being able to get that for confrontation reasons. In 2014, they changed the sealing statute. And the sealing statute has become the submission of a form. And what happens when it's sealed? And I'll tell you, this will become crazy if the SJC gives me the records.
Mm.
The record becomes restricted and edited on the computer system, and then all the files are pulled. They're gathered up and they're put into a magistrate's office. And what I've done is I've said I not only want the unsealed record, the evidence of it, I want the underlying documents so that I can look at them, the files. I suspect that if the judge ordered that, we'd end up with the clerk magistrates looking for some kind of an injunction.
Here's the other thing that I've always argued, and I've lost every single time I argue this. My argument is that the only thing that's under the statute that's sealed is the record of a conviction. Everything else, all the evidence, the police reports, witness statements.
Amen, brother.
We call the F-21s, which are the court action forms.
But that's true.
That's not sealed. I can get that. There's nothing in that statute. I've actually pounded the desk. I said, Judge, you show me where in the statute. For those of you who want to know, it's Chapter 276, Section 100A. You show me in that statute, and I brought it with me, show me where it says that they get to seal the underlying documents.
It doesn't. It talks about the sealed record, which is a very specific document. But the probation department has convinced, at least in this case, a district court judge to review all the arguments and summarily, no opinion, summarily write denied on the motion so that I gotta take it up to the SJC.
I will say we've only got a couple of minutes left.
But
you've both brought compelling, you know,
they
arguments.
They're talking up for three people. You didn't need me.
Well, I was.
We love you being here.
Wait, thank you.
Did you want to ask anything?
Closing? I just think a lot of people, and it was good that you brought up the point about Massachusetts doesn't expunge records. I think a lot of people just, when you think about defense attorneys and sealing criminal records, their first reaction is they're trying to get them sealed for their clients. So this was actually very
interesting. No, actually, it's funny because most of my clients, well, first of all, you need to understand something. You can't seal a record when what happens. There's a waiting period, usually 5 to 10 years. Most of my clients, the problem is you've got to be 5 years. If there's any convictions within that 5-year period, you can't seal the record.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You've got to
wait
clean.
5 years. We have a term which defense politely refer to some of our repeat clients as frequent flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of frequent flyers, guys who are literally, to quote the late Judge Greg Baylor, who once told me, a client who told me once told me during a bail argument, counselor, your client's doing life on the installment plan.
you had made a mention, and just quickly, when you and I were talking about in having this conversation, one of the things that you had brought up was past Governor Deval Patrick wanting to do something in regards to Corey and being able to?
This is basically an attempt, and I don't disagree with the theory behind it, and they have this in other states. It's an attempt to try and reduce the amount of people that remain unemployed, unhoused
because of their criminal records,
because of a past criminal record for which they have been okay for 10 years or more.
Right.
That's nice. But I also have criminal defendants allegedly criminal defendants to defend. And you cannot, for the sake of these people, restrict or deny the constitutional rights under Article 12 of our Constitution mm-hmm. in this state, the Sixth Amendment, the Brady cases, and all of the other case law that's already out there that says, one, these records are presumed accessible, and two, I have a right to at least see them, whether they're admissible or not. Don't sit here and play games with me. Well, you couldn't use them anyway, mister. What are you going to use them for? One of the people asked me. What are you going to use these documents for? And I said, I don't know until I see them.
Yeah.
But I know I got a right to see them.
Right.
Getting in court and using them is a far different thing than seeing them.
Now, you have something before the SJC and
I got a petition up there right now.
Petition. So what we should probably do is have you come back mm-hmm. and
I become famous doing this, you're going to have to pay me for that.
Well, you're already infamous.
No, I'm infamous.
Ken, if you will, if folks want to, how can they find you if they have any questions or seeking a professional attorney, defense attorney?
That's very kind. You can give me a call at 508-580-6907, or you can email me at KMDLAW, that's KMDLaw@ymail.com, or stop by the office, 142 Main Street, Suite 407, in the City of Champions, Brockton.
And Adam, you got two things. Not only folks want to find you, but you also want to give a plug to an event that you got coming up.
Ah, yes. If you're looking for criminal defense, this one happens to be a pro bono matter, but if you're looking for criminal defense, I'm at 11 North Main Street, Middleborough, Mass., 02346. Give me a call at 508-946-1165. I also do a lot of general practice, including veterans benefits work, PI work. You can also reach out to me on abond@adambondlaw.com. And one of my other loves in life is doing magic, and my wife and I have a full-fledged magic, it's a drama and
is
magic
the
show
bonds
together.
Of marriage?
It's called The Bonds of Marriage, and it is about our romance.
it's a pretty good show. I've seen the show. It's a really good show.
Anybody get sawed in half?
It is, no, but I get tied into a straitjacket and get out.
It's a good show.
There is a fair amount of magic from the beginning to end. There's a lot of humor, and actually, the last time we did the show, a couple of people actually cried. It was part of
it
based
was
on the
not
story.
Getting sawed
not,
in
no,
half.
No, 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 no.
It wasn't me. But it was a fantastic show, and I'm not just saying it because Adam's here. But it was a true story.
It's a true story. People always ask, "Did you guys make that up?" And we didn't. It just happened that way, and. It's really kind of, I guess, life is crazier than fiction. I appreciate the two of you coming in to help out with this topic.
I was going to actually get around to thanking Christine for coming in.
I would.
Being able to utter a word or two, but go ahead, Adam.
Room full of lawyers, and she's looking for a word. That's why it's good luck.
When can people see this magic show of yours?
Oh, this is going to be March 20th over at the Hilton Hotel in Taunton. If you go online to Northbrook Academy, it's part of the fundraiser. It'll come up. This show has been done before. If you want to see prior comments on it and whatever, if you go on Facebook, you'll find it. And it's a fun show, and it's a family show. It's myself, my wife, and my daughter are in it, and she's only 10. She cool. still fits in one of the tricks.
But not for long.
We
not
may have
long.
To build it bigger. But thank you.
Thank you both for coming in, and
thank you,
Christine,
Kevin.
for joining in on the conversation. We will step aside, and when we come back, we're going to speak with psychologist Dr. Kate Roberts. We're going to talk about how we deal with all this anxiety from seeing all this snow. When we come back here on 95.9 WATD, Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
She's a psychologist about now.
Yeah.